Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode, another show of Jawanza for Life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I know that you all have been waiting just as anxiously as I have been waiting to do this show. This is one of those shows that you're going to want to record, and if you can't record it, you know that you're listening to Blog Talk, and they have archives, and you can actually go back and listen over and over and over again to the show as many times as you want to, and you're going to want to, and you're going to want to tell somebody else, oh my God, guess who was on Jawanza for Life today? I'm going to say it again, although it sounds redundant, I have another special show lined up for you today. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. My special guest today is
Margaret Shook Avery. Hello, everybody. This is Aquia Chefs Nater. And again, our very special guest today is Margaret Shook Avery, an actress and singer, best known and nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress in a Supporting Role for her performance as Shug in The Color Purple. Although many fans may be able to trace her back to The Color Purple, Miss Margaret has been a talented player on the large and small screen for well over three decades.
Wow.
Also, while still a teenager, Margaret was a freedom rider.
Wow. Say what?
Yes, a freedom rider.
As a teenager.
As a teenager. Welcome, Margaret, to Jawanza for Life.
Oh, thank you. I'm laughing. I haven't heard the term freedom rider in a long time. I guess I was about, almost a teen, 11, 12 years old. But I guess that's when I really got started in politics. But listen, I just wanted to thank all my fans out there. You know, it has been 27 years since Color Purple, and people are still calling me Shug. And it tickles me when they spell Shug. Normally it's S-H-U-G, and I'll get people writing me notes that say S-U-G. Because that's the way sugar starts, you know. If you sell sugar, it's S-U-G. So, but when you translate it like that, it's like SUG, you know, SUG.
Right.
Will you give me an autograph, you know? So thank you all fans for Facebook that are always following what I'm doing, and I appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Miss Avery, it has truly been you know, just even you mentioned Facebook, you know, just being a friend of yours on Facebook and seeing the positive messages that you daily put out there just really touched people's lives. I look at the responses even from people when you post something. It's just like, I mean, it's like a ministry. I mean, it's really as though God has called you to be positive and to spread good and inspirational motivational messages to people, and it really is touching people's lives. And I just want to say, you know, just thank you. A lot of times people, they see people on the screen, they don't necessarily know, you know, off of the screen just what's going on in their lives. But I tell you, listen, this is a positive sister here. This sister will uplift you. If your day is not going too well, I mean, you know, she has a way with words and, you know, just is always inspiring and motivating. And, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for that. And, you know, many people don't know that you are even as politically active as you are. Again,
Jawanza, I have to give Calvin Carson credit where credit's due. He's my assistant, and we go over what are we going to say today, and he'll say, oh, you remember, hey, so-and-so happened, and I said, oh, my goodness, let's please address that. And so I don't get all the credit.
Okay.
But I will say that it just amazes me that people are inspired, and I appreciate the feedback. And at this time of my life, you know, it's important to know that we're making a difference and helping someone, reaching out on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And,
okay,
you know,
so
just,
go on.
Just
I just
because
had
a person
to,
doesn't necessarily
that.
Hold it of minister, you can have a ministry. You know, and again, you have touched the lives of countless people, and to you and Brother Carson, you know, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please give him my thanks, too, as well, because
I will. And I'm sure when he hears this, he'll be tickled. But well, let me tell my fans, too, you know, we're going to talk today about other things, but they can look out for me this January or February. I have the blessing of playing Gabriel Union's mom in a program called Being Mary Jane. And that's going to be a series supported by, it'll be on BET. And the writers of that is a hot married couple of Myra Brock Akil, and I think she was the instrumental writer in the show The Game, and her director husband, Salim Akil. The two of them are involved with that, as well as the feature film Sparkle, that it's about to come out. I'm not sure if it's released yet, but I did see a screening of it, and it's a very enjoyable film.
Well, thank you.
So I just wanted to put that out there for everyone to look at. Now, what is it that we're going to talk about today, brother?
Well, first I'd like to talk about, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. I mean, just politically now, we're gearing up for the election or whatever. But Aquia Sipster there just mentioned in the bio that you were a freedom rider as a teenager. I mean, we got to talk about that. Because, I mean, and you're active, and you're still at it. I mean, so you've never lost the fire. But how in the world did that come about, you actually becoming a freedom writer? And I didn't say writer, y'all. I said writer, a freedom writer.
Writer, R-I-D-E-R. Well, actually, exactly. I wasn't familiar with the term at that time, but I was on my way. My mom let me go on the Greyhound bus. When's the last time you saw a Greyhound bus? To visit relatives in Oklahoma, my grandparents, as a matter of fact. And on the bus, it stopped for, you know, the little stopovers they do for coffee and chance to relieve yourself. I was at the counter getting some hot chocolate, and these other kids, and I know now in retrospect that they were probably like 17, 18, 19 years old, they were talking about them going on to Mississippi to help with voter registration. And it sounded so exciting, and they pointed to their little minivan that they were in. I said, oh, can I go? And that's how it started. And, of course, growing up in San Diego, there were, at that time in the 50s, there were prejudices, but not blatant ones that I understood. So I'm just saying that I was naive in the fact that we would pass these hotels or motels saying vacancy, and because we needed a place to stay, you know, overnight. And I would say, oh, there's a vacancy. And they'd look at me like I didn't realize that they knew, or and that I didn't know, that no way would I be able to spend the night in one of those motels. That's how far we've come from that time. Now, once we got to Mississippi, we went to different homes because there were homes that supported us while there. And I'm telling you, our young people don't know how things were at that time. They were putting us in jail for just saying we were disturbing the peace. And all we were doing was going around making sure people would register to vote. And if you got put in jail, that was a real, very dangerous thing, because what would happen is that they would say, oh, we release them, we release this person, and we never saw that person again. So the reality is that those young people were dumped somewhere in a swamp. And and there are a lot of swamps in Mississippi, and those are the kind of stories that our young people don't know, that people have given up their lives, not only black people, but people who were involved at that time gave up their lives for the right for us to vote. And for that vote that's trying to be taken away from us at this time is just awful. And my concern is, it's not what party you're for or what your belief system is politically. Don't give up the right to vote. Don't let it be taken away from you. And you know that these voter suppression laws have been very serious. Now, recently, the states that have had these lavas, some of them have been uplifted temporarily. You're aware of what the laws were. They're either clamping down on, mostly the laws affect Democrat voters, poor people, people of color,
mm-hmm.
telling them that they can't vote early because that's when a lot of them were voting early. Can't vote
right.
in the church, not vote, I'm sorry, can't register early and can't register in the church on Sundays. They changed the laws to say you can only vote 8 to 5 weekdays. Now, if you're working, you can't vote before you get to work. You can't vote after you get to work. And how can you take off work? Saying you can't vote, register. You cannot register on a college campus. Well, those were the young people who voted so much for President
right.
Obama in the last election. Now, a lot of us don't know about this. I have had friends who have relatives in some of these states that have the laws, and I've said when they've come back from visiting those states, I said, well, what did people say? What did your family say about these voter suppression laws? They say, oh, they didn't mention it. And mainly, they're not aware of it. And that I will touch on a later time, but we have to be aware of what's going on politically. So we don't fall into the ignorance and uneducated voting person if we do vote, or it fall into not voting because we didn't understand the process of what's been happening behind all this suppression. Am I rambling?
Thank you so much for saying that, because we, you know, need to be more politically astute. Unfortunately, there are far too many people that only think about politics every 4 years. And I'm talking about from the voter standpoint.
Right.
You know,
but
though,
let me make this point, though, Juwan. We were saying, how did I get started? And what I want to point out to is when we went to the courts at that time, we're talking about back in the late 50s, when we went to the Mississippi courtrooms, there was only the Confederate flag in the courtrooms. There was no U.S. flag. So at least we know now when you go into a courtroom, whether it be in the South or any part of our nation, you see the American flag.
That had to be something just not even noticed. I mean, when you went down there, and I don't know if at your age of 12 or 13, if that registered to you.
I mean, absolutely. And I was so ignorant. I was sitting in this little courtroom when people got up to make their little statements and whatever they were saying, like the sheriff's lying, and I would be sitting there saying, making my little comments out of my breath, you know, saying under my breath, saying, oh, that's horrible. He's lying or whatever. And this one man kept looking back at me. He was sitting in front of me and looking back. Well, I didn't know that he was the top deputy sheriff of that little town, Itabena, Mississippi. And by the time we all got back on the bus and we got back to our little town, other freedom riders, if we want to call them that, were running up to the house that I was in saying, oh, Margaret Jo, you got to get out of here. The sheriff is looking for you. The sheriff is looking for you. And they whisked me out of there in a car, and we went into Alabama and got me on a Greyhound bus back home, back to San Diego. So that's
wow.
That's how the times were then. So if you want to know how it got started, it was actually in my young years. Now, of course, I went on to college and whatever, grew up and married, and it was only just 7 years ago that I started really paying attention to the political system. Otherwise, up until that point, I was only listening when the elections came near. And I think that's the the tragedy that most voters fall into. Because if you don't know the history of the candidate and you don't know, understand the voting process or so much that's involved, you don't know when a candidate is saying one thing, but his history is
right.
His actions are totally different. He's voted totally different in all of the things that he's voted for, but yet he's standing up telling you that he is for what you're for.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is the audacity that it takes to do that, because what that says is that I think that the voters are ignorant, so much so that I can get up here and say that I'm for something that for the last, that my track record shows that I've never shown to be in favor of, but I view them as being so politically ignorant that I can get up here and in their face tell them that I am now for something that for the past, say, 4 years, I have not supported. By the way, my special guest, if you're just tuning in, is Margaret Shug Avery of The Color Purple and countless other things that we're going to go down the list. She's been in scores of stuff, not just The Color Purple. For the last 30 years, she's been in a number of productions. I want to give the number to the studio where you can call in and speak to her. The number is 347-324-5727. Again, if you want to talk to Miss Avery, that's 347-324-5727. Wow, that had to be something, again, Miss Avery, for you to still be at it, to have started all those many years ago. And I'm sure that during that time that they would have never thought that the day would come, when I say they, I'm talking about the people in that courtroom, would have never thought the day would come that there would be a black president. And for you to go
even
from
us,
that to,
you know, did you ever think there would be? I'm just sorry that my mother never lived to see it, you know. Are you there?
That had to be a monumental, I mean, just the emotions that went into that, and that kind of leads me to the question with concerning President Obama. A lot of energy has gone into the first election, went into the first election. A lot of energy and hope is being, you know, garnered and going into this election. What do you think will be the ramifications if, let's say, hypothetically, President Obama is not elected for a second term? With all of the hope, with all of the energy, with all of the prayers even, you know, that are going into, and the work going into getting him back into office again, what do you think will happen if he's not reelected? I mean, because that can take the wind out of your sails. You know, you put a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of hope into something, and you're praying for it, and you want it, 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 and it's like, nope, you don't get it, not this time.
Well, let me
Where
say
do you
this.
See us?
One thing, though, Jigwanza, is that if you didn't get out and vote, then I don't want to hear anybody complain.
Okay.
Don't sit around and say, oh, he's going to get it. No, every single person has the responsibility to get out there and vote, and don't be upset with him because he's for something else. I mean, I understand this business about we lost support behind some of the black churches because he's for gay marriage and all. Well, look at the things that he also has created, and if you do not vote, then that's a vote for the other party. And look at what they stand for compared to what President Obama stands for. Look at what he has accomplished compared to what they have tried to keep him from accomplishing. There's just so much to say about this.
You know, I've actually read somewhere where the thought was being put out there that the Republicans were intentionally blocking everything that they could block to create an America where you would blame everything on the president. okay, because the average person walking the streets might not be politically astute and not know that the reason such and such or this or that isn't happening is because a bill may have been blocked. And you thinking that, well, okay, Obama's not doing his job, so now the country is in a particular state because Republicans are blocking certain bills, so now you're forced to look for some change, okay? It's like, okay, well, if we create from the Republican standpoint, the thought could be, if we create a condition, let's block everything that he proposes, that's going to create an America in need of change. So now when we go to the polls, we can say, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, I promised to do that and the
other. And you know that that's what's happened, because the very day that he was inaugurated, there was a meeting with the Republicans in Congress making an agreement that we're going to do everything to make this a one-term president. Now, you might say, well, every oppositional party wants to do that. You don't want someone who's not your party to remain president. But the difference between this party that's in control of Congress is that everything that President Obama has brought to them, they have filibustered.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people may not know what filibustering means, but it's a process of killing a goal, that, and they have used it 100 times more than any other time. That's a lot of filibustering. The
mm-hmm.
things that even President Reagan agreed on, other Republican ideas that Obama brought to them that were their ideas,
right.
What did they do? Turn that down. So any of you voters out there that aren't aware of these things, please, please look up what's been happening before you say, well, he hasn't done nothing for me. You have to look at why. And the things that he has done in less than 4 years, his fourth year would be this coming January. When you look at online at the things that were accomplished, I mean, you compare that to the administration before under President Bush, he's accomplished, what, 25 times more, at least. They knock him about taking vacations. He's had less vacations than any other president. Less vacations.
And I was just reading, excuse pardon me, I interrupted. I was just reading recently where there is a controversy over him saying that he captured bin Laden, as opposed to saying that the troops captured bin Laden. I actually saw this on television where there was a debate going on whether or not he was correct in saying, being able to say that he captured bin Laden or gave the executive order to send the troops in, when he actually, in that particular speech, he did, in fact, give credit to the troops for their role in the role.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. You know? You're absolutely right, because I heard that. I actually saw it on television. He got up and announced that bin Laden had been captured, killed, however you want to put it. He gave credit to several people and to the Bush administration, or people who had been involved prior to that, the time that he was even in office. But to listen to the opposition, they turn everything around. Now, that gives me another thought here. You know, in the private sector, such as myself, if somebody, and it happened to me once, somebody says something that is not true. I had a producer to say that I held up the set and cost them time. He reported that to my agent and to my manager.
Okay.
And I was appalled. I thought, what in the world? So I confronted him the next day after I heard the information. I had him in front of the director. It was a break. And I said, you know, I heard, my agent tells me that you said that I held up the set yesterday. Well, being the coward that he was, he says, oh, no, no, I didn't say that. And I said it in front of the director because I wanted to know if the director was a part of this. And
right.
the director says, oh, no, you. He. She turns to him and she said, you know, she didn't cause anyone to she didn't hold up the set. So I then, what I did was I wrote him a letter and I CC'd it to a copy to my agent, my manager, the head of casting and the network, telling him that that was false allegations. I've worked hard for my profession. I'm known to be on time. I've never caused anybody any time. I'm respected for that. And if I ever heard him say anything like that, I would sue him for defamation of character. Now, we can't do that when politicians get up and lie about a whole speech that another president made.
Wow, that's true.
And I will. Why don't we sue them for defamation of character? I mean, they're the whole Republican Party is saying that President Obama said that businesses don't grow themselves. They didn't work to earn what they have. That is not what President Obama said in his speech. He said that with what he was saying was that you didn't build it alone. There was infrastructure that helped you.
Right.
There were bridges. There were roads. There were mailmen that got packages to you. There were people who were educated who worked for you in that business. That's what he's saying. But what are they saying? They take a soundbite out of what he said in a speech. And those of you, now listen, people, those of you who don't know the truth, you're going by the soundbite. And the soundbite is, this president is saying that we didn't build our business we didn't build our businesses ourselves. That's what they're saying. Now, when you hear that, you're subject to believe it. And when you have billionaires supporting you to buy up airtime and saturate the market with negative statements like that, saturate the market so that you can't even get your own ads in there.
Right.
You're brainwashed.
And
because
so
you're
sad.
Ignorant. You're too mm-hmm. ignorant to believe the truth. You haven't educated yourself.
And why would a president who has fought so hard to, for example, in his first campaign, to talk about the need for small businesses, you know, that we're going to come in, we're going to help small businesses. You know, he's done,
mm-hmm.
you know, campaigns where he's actually, you know, talked about the need for small businesses and how, you know, small businesses help fuel the economy and all of this, and then turn around and diss the very people that, you know, he was applauding. You know, he's more intelligent than that. You know, he's
well,
much
if
more
anybody's going to diss anybody, it's going to be, and you know, and he seems to be a likable person, Romney. Dr. Sharpton calls him Willard by his first name, but he's the one who's flip-flopped. First he was for pro-life, then he's not for pro-life. He changes. At least with President Obama, you know where he stands. With Mitt Romney, you don't know what he stands because he changes all the time, and these super PACs that are supporting him and financing him, not that he needs their money, I mean, but who is it that's supporting him? What is he going to have to adhere for them if he wins? Is he going to, everything that he's saying up there now that he will do, is it going to be for the super PACs, whatever their interest is? Well, we know it's going to be to benefit the corporations and for the wealthy. And what else will it be? If the birthers are in control and they're super about this reversing Roe versus Wade, we know that we're going to lose that. So I just hope that people will utilize their right to vote, That's what I'm. That's why I'll be in Ohio and any other of these states that the party will use me in, to encourage people. Don't be discouraged by the progress. It cannot happen overnight. What our president has done has been super, super. I mean, when you look at the adversity that he's had to overcome, he's had no support in Congress, which brings me back to the situation of when we have state elections, we have to continue to participate, because whoever goes to Congress is going to be voting in for their own interests. You got to be sure that they're voting for your interest, whether it be for the party's interest or not. Right now, we lost our control in Congress. We had it in the beginning, the Democrats, when President Obama was elected. But after, this is how I see it, after President Obama was elected, we got relaxed.
Yep.
And we didn't pay attention to the state elections that followed that, and which was a few months later. And the Republicans, the candidates in each state that were Republican were the ones who won their state elections and went into Congress and joined the pack of Republican and birther extreme right positions. And it's a known fact that the very day President Obama was elected, they made a pact that no one is to vote for anything that he brings in. Now, how can you get anything done? That's the difference between this Congress and the Congress that's preceded. They have at least had some kind of coming together. Mm-hmm. I mean, some willingness. Even President Reagan had that.
That says whether it's good for the country or not.
And now, isn't that scary, Juwanza? Is it not scary that you would vote against things that are good for the country just to bring down a president? You don't care about millions of people who are struggling for jobs and hanging on to their homes and who are hungry just to get rid of a president? That is not American.
And
if people like that get in control, God bless us. Oh, my God. I think I want to keep my passport activated, make sure that it's current, because I don't know what will happen if people like that get in control. It scares me, and I'm sure they say the same thing about us. But so it's almost as though I don't want to get involved with how a person should think. Because sex, religion, and politics, everybody thinks different about it. And so my fight and my focus will be get out there and vote. Exercise your right to vote, be it for President Obama or not. I hope it would be. But don't give up your right to vote.
You know, I just have to say that this conversation that we're having right now is so refreshing, and part of that reason being because with your celebrity status, you know, as an actress and, you know, being nominated for awards, and, you know, it's just refreshing to hear that you have a thought-out political opinion that you've come to after much thought, reflection, and observation. You know, that to me is, you're to be applauded for that, because there are a lot of people, I'm sure, that are in Hollywood that, you know, get caught up in the career and, you know, trying to make a living, and, you know, they'll take whatever role is presented in front of them. And, you know, I mean, and when it comes to things that we're discussing right now, they might not be able to hold this conversation because they're not up on it, although these issues affect them as well. So I just want to take the moment to applaud you for being astute, for reading, for being a reader, for, you know, being an observer, and the work that you're doing to help, you know, in helping to get this president reelected, you're helping to make this country better. So as a citizen, I want to say thank you so much. I appreciate that work that you're doing on our behalf.
Well, I'm what can I say? Thank you for the thank yous, but I feel it's my civic duty. I mean, other people have done the same in the past. You remember Harry Belafonte, who was so much of an advocate, and Sidney Poitier was an advocate for civil rights. And at that time, their careers were booming, and they suffered the consequences. I know Harry Belafonte suffered the consequences of not getting work because he stood up for people. Now, and just speaking up for the average Joe who's
right.
going to work every day, they don't have the time, possibly, that I have. I mean, there, when you work two jobs trying to hang on and you've got a family or you're stressed out about losing your home and just trying to make ends meet, I've had those times. And during those times, I was not aware of what was going on. All my time was taken up with trying to make it, trying
mm-hmm.
to get on this interview, trying to memorize lines, trying to get the job. I mean, so I'm saying that I understand people out there who aren't aware. It's not because they don't want to be, and you understand that too, Juwanza. But I'm just saying that, hey, this is so important because it's the outcome of this election. Yeah, we'll have to survive it. I mean, regardless if President Obama doesn't get in. But the thing of it is that our presidents, they're the ones who select appoint the Supreme Court members, and those are life positions, life for life. They have to die before
mm-hmm.
the position is open. Now, in a sense, that's good because they don't have to be pressured by their constituents as to how to vote. But don't you think that if a president can appoint someone, they're going to appoint someone who thinks the way he or she thinks?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
So if you're a birther, if you believe in all these extreme right ideas, you have that kind of ideology, that's who's going to be in that next position in the Supreme Court, making these final decisions that affect you and I now, our children and our grandchildren, and because you have to die to get out of that office, it may be even be our great-grandchildren. So that makes this election extremely important. I hope people out there who were thinking about not voting are being inspired by me. I'm just trying to.
I think that they are.
I just want so much to take people's hands. I wish I had more than two hands and to guide them to wherever it is they need to vote. Now I know that it's not the excitement out there that it used to be. You know, the when President Obama was running, it was exciting to see an African American. My God, nobody ever thought that this would ever happen. Well, now that he's elected, the excitement is worn off. You know, it's like that first kiss. When you first kiss now I know your wife is sitting next to you.
Right. Remember.
But do you still get that thrill that you got on the first kiss? I mean, if you do, God bless you. But
it's
you know, most people have to work at keeping that excitement going. And so I just use this analogy to say that with President Obama, we're used to the idea of him now. And in many cases, people's situations haven't changed. They still ain't got no job. I understand that. But you got to remember and think about why you don't have that job. Do you need to re-educate yourself, redefine who you are in the workplace? Because every time there is new technology, some people lose their jobs. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, I remember giving my daughter a computer, more than 25 years ago, because they were using computers in school, and I put it in her room, and I said, "Hey, I don't want to see it. This is yours. You got them in school, so do what you have to do with it like you do in school, okay? Now, if you said you didn't have a computer, I mean, you're like operating in the dark ages. That's like saying you don't have a credit card or you don't have a phone.
You are so right.
I mean, and so with the computer, I know now little businesses that I used to go to for photograph copies, they would make a copy. They're out of business because people can do that now themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can make your own Christmas cards. You can, I mean, there's so much. Now, what kind of jobs did that put people out of? That was just because of changing in times, and you have to redefine yourself. I had to redefine myself a few years ago when I went back to, I was still acting, but because I wasn't working all the time, had a lot of time on my hands. I had to go back to school, and I got a master's in addition to my BA in education. But I also, while acting here and there, I became a psychotherapist, helping young people who are struggling with who they are and their identity, helping parents with those children, helping couples. So, and that kept me surviving. It helped to help keep me surviving while work was really slow with acting, because with women, the older you get, the fewer jobs offers you get. We're not like men. You got to remember out there, when you look at television, there's always more men in that program than there are women, unless it's an all-woman show. And even when it's an all-woman show, you're going to have a lot of men in there. If you're African-American like me, I don't get cast unless it's a black film, because I got to be somebody's girlfriend or somebody's mama. And God forbid, thank goodness for being Mary Jane, because the producer and writer on that let me be her mama and not be 30 to 50 pounds overweight. That's a whole other subject. I mean, because if the white man is involved with casting the black mama, they can't see you any other way. They can't see you like a Mary Tyler Moore or anybody else. It's got to be that kind of borderline look.
Overweight. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that that's not good. I'm just saying it's not fair to be limited to that. And it's black producers and writers who allow me to look the way I look. And they're beautiful sisters out there. Now, anybody you listen to, I don't want to see on Facebook or Twitter that I said anything differently than I'm saying now. I mean, because our women who are 30 to 50 pounds overweight are beautiful. All I'm saying is that I'm not like that, and I'm beautiful too.
Thank you.
Being not 30 to 50 pounds overweight, and I want the opportunity to continue to work. That's what I'm saying.
I want to give the number here in the studio again, because I know there's some people out there that when I put it out there that you were going to be my guest today, were really excited. Yeti is in Indonesia. She said that she's going to do her best to listen in. So let me get a number again. It's 347-324-5727. I want to give a shout out to Yeti, Empress Renee. I know she said she was going to try to listen in. Empress Belinda said she was going to try to listen in. So if you're out there, if you're texting my phone has gone dead. So sometimes Miss Avery, they'll text me and ask me to ask the guest a question. So my phone is dead, y'all. So you're going to have to call.
Oh, my goodness. Juwanza, how did you let that happen? How is it dead? You forgot to charge it?
It was running out of juice, and I had enough juice to call you, and, you know, so, but yeah, the number here is 347, you've been there before, 347-324-5727, my special guest is Margaret Shug Avery from The Color Purple. this, you know, I'm a bigger fan now than I was even before this conversation today. I was a fan then, but after hearing you talk today and just with all of the other accomplishments that you've done in terms of your education and the work that you've done with the youth, I'm a bigger fan of yours than I was before, and I was already a big fan. But let me ask you
thank
this.
Thank you. Thank you, Juwanza.
You're very welcome. Thank you for all of the work that you've done. I have to ask, what obstacles do you see our president having to overcome this time, this election? Because before the first election, he had his record in, you know, prior as senator, okay, but he didn't have a presidential record for anybody to scrutinize. He was saying, if I become president, I'll do this, I'll do that, and I'll do the other. He's been president for 4 years.
Not quite four, only in January.
Okay,
January.
Almost four.
Yeah.
Any particular obstacles or perceptions that you think that he might have to overcome this time that weren't present in his first campaign?
Well, like I touched upon, you know, it was when he ran, it was our first African-American candidate. I mean, and so the thrill of that is gone. We've gotten kind of used to that. And another thing is that he was running on hope and change and things that everybody wanted. Now what he's working on is policy. You know, that's a whole different thing, and most people don't understand the process in changing policy. So I think that's a big thing right there, the understanding of it. And then there's the obstacle of voter suppression. Our opposition is saying, okay, what we can do if we want to win is minimize the votes that he can get. In Pennsylvania, it's 750,000 voters that would be affected by this voter suppression, the laws that they have passed about the ID and all of that. That's a big obstacle, even though some of the states, the ruling has been in the lower courts that the law is not kosher and they can't do it. They're working on now, the opposition is trying to appeal that law and taking it to a higher court, and we don't know if that's going to happen before or after the election. So voter suppression is really hard. You heard about the 96-year-old woman who has voted all her life, has even voted, worked as a volunteer with the polls, but she's never had a driver's license. She's never had to have a picture ID. And now suddenly she has to have this picture ID, which she apparently makes it difficult for her to get, because in some of the states, the where you could get a picture ID was the DMV, and what
right.
they went in and they wiped out the DMVs in those neighborhoods, and they doubled the DMVs in the white neighborhoods. Now,
wow.
I mean, this kind of tactics, is this American? I mean, would you want these kind of people in your administration governing for the people?
And for those people who are, let's say, for those people who are not of the black race, who actually support President Obama, for those Hispanics that support President Obama, for the Caucasians that support President Obama, for the Orientals and the Native Americans and, you know, who support President Obama, I applaud you, because I know that you have to have courage to go outside of what the norm is in your particular race. There are black Republicans who catch heat from the black community just for being Republican. So I know that there has to be some flack or raised eyebrows at the very least for those white, Hispanic, Native American, Mexican, whatever, people who have openly supported President Obama. And for that courage, for you to stand up for your convictions and for what you believe to be the best choice, I applaud you for that, because I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. You could be ostracized for that. You know, there could be some sort of ramification, some sort of, you know, again, ramifications for taking a stand for what you believe in, and to have the courage to do that. And I just want to say I applaud you for that. It takes courage.
Well,
thank you for your courage.
Well, thank you. But once again, I feel kind of awkward accepting all that accolade because, I mean, here I am with the experience that I've had with inequalities. I mean, even though I grew up in San Diego, there were inequalities there that I finally recognized as I got older. But the young people, we were talking about what the obstacles are for President Obama in this election, the voter suppression and the fact that there's not the excitement and enthusiasm that there was, and trying to get the young people out, because it's really important that they understand the consequences. The young people have a tendency not to look at the big picture. If they're one of those who just graduated from college and had been looking for a job for 2 years and couldn't find one and living at home with mom and dad, it's hard for them to think, well, you know, hey, you didn't do it, President Obama. I'm still unemployed, so hey, I'm going to go the other way. But they have to look at what President Obama has accomplished, even with a Congress against him, and look at what the policies are for in the other party. Is that going to forward you? Are you somebody that's making over $250,000 now? No. I mean, it was a joke when Joe the plumber got up and said, I don't agree with people being taxed who are making over $250,000. He doesn't even have a plumber's license. How is he going to? So you know that somebody told him to say that.
Right.
Now he's speaking better. He is speaking a little bit more intelligently. He's running for some public office somewhere.
Joe the plumber?
Joe the plumber is running for something. I saw him on some show the other day. But
wow.
You have to look at what the policies are. But you cannot just think of your situation right now. If you vote one way, does that have the possibility of changing your situation in the future? Look at what your needs are. Which party is going to help you? Not which party is going to say they're going to help you, but which party has a record of voting in the way that will help you. What have their positions been? On immigration, you know, opposition is saying, hey, send them all back. I don't care how long they've been and how many decades they've been here. Well, if you were born here, brought here illegally, but born here or whatever, and you've graduated from high school, you mean to tell me now you graduate with a 4.0 and you want to go into medicine? Ship you back to wherever? We need, do you know how many doctors we need? They were saying, like, within 12 years we're going to be like something like, I saw the statistics earlier today, something like over 100,000 doctors we're behind in educating. So it doesn't make sense. I mean, you can't preach one thing about a policy and not look at the big picture. You ship everybody away, people who are making contributions in our society that we need, it doesn't make any sense.
And
close borders, yes, but don't go extreme. I mean, if you're talking about you value education, then why are you voting to up the interest rates on student loans?
And I think that's very important what you're saying, Margaret, as well, because with all of these ads and everything out there, it is so confusing sometimes. You don't know who to believe. And
absolutely.
And if you don't do your research, like you mentioned, you know, go back and do your research and think, you know, just about what you were saying, think about how you think it's going to affect you, or, you know, just basically think and do your research, because otherwise you will be so confused listening to Mitt Romney's ads, and then when they go back and forth, you know, you don't know who to believe. So I really, you know, encourage, like you said, for people to go out and do their own research.
And they have to remember that every candidate is, I mean, you're not going to find that you believe in everything they stand for, but you look at the big picture. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, it sounded like the phone went dead. You have to look at the big picture. It's almost like getting along with somebody in a relationship. What are the pros? What are the cons? Now, when the cons outnumber the pros, it's time to go.
Amen. Amen. You can't understand why you're in it. And your best memory was 25 years ago. It's time to run.
I want people to realize that politicians are not supposed to be in charge of who votes for them. The voters are supposed to be in charge of who they vote for. And the way it's going now. Pardon me?
That shows fear on behalf of the politicians. If you're going to try to control the voters' votes, then you must have a serious fear of losing, that you feel that you have to go to such lengths to control the way people vote, when they vote, where they can vote. I mean, all of that is manipulating the system. And if you feel the need to do that, that shows that you're already in trouble.
Yeah. Now, listen, you mean nobody called? Have I been just running my mouth so that nobody's called in? Or that's
nobody has called, but you know what? I guarantee you, the archives are going to be, you know, every time we do a show, we actually have people that actually go back and listen to the archives, and they listen over and over again. And why they haven't called, I know it is a holiday weekend or whatever, but I'm like you. I mean, I felt this phone should have been jumping off the hook. And
yeah,
you still got about 4 minutes if you want to say hi to Margaret Shug. 347-324-5727. This has been an awesome, awesome interview. As a matter of fact, I am certain that of the interviews that I've done, this is going to, you know, as far as the people that are going to go back and listen to the archives, because, I mean, you are really, really breaking it down. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that had no clue that you were as politically astute, you know, as you are. And even myself, I'm a much bigger fan as a result of this interview, because you are really an awesome, awesome person, Ms. Avery, I have to say.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. But I'm just following my civic duty. We have to get out there and teach as people have taught me when I was not in the know. I mean, we have to be aware. And if we want to make change, we got to be hanging in there and follow the process. And the way we can fight back with this voter suppression and is to get out there and vote, and that's the way we speak our minds. And it just hurt me terribly to know that people did not get out and vote. We can't sleep through this one. We just cannot. It's just going to have a big effect on us. And I understand I was sad to hear that President Obama, when he was running the first time, got donations, and people feel slighted because they did not get thank you notes from him. And I don't condone not thanking people, but please don't not vote for him because he didn't thank you. You might get thanks all the time from the opposition, but there'll be, I don't want to say a bad word, but they'll be doing it to you behind your back while you get in there. Thank you.
Well, Miss Avery, I have to say, thank you, because this has been one powerful, powerful hour here. And again, I'm going to keep you posted too, and as far as how many people are listening to the archives, because I know this is going to go well into the thousands, because this is a very, very very important topic, and you really brought a lot of clarity and insight, you know, to this discussion, and I'm sure that people are going to go back and listen and sit around and get their coffee and sit back and really enjoy the discussion that we had today. I am truly, truly impressed, you know,
okay.
by the, not just the actress that you are, and but that the, of the person that you are.
Well, thank
you, Rhonda. we do what we do with this broadcast is to bring people on like yourself to get this information out. And they do have an opportunity to listen to the archives. So it will be heard over and over again. And we're definitely going to encourage people to tune in to the, the archives broadcast.
As a matter of fact,
okay.
for everybody who's listening, we've only got a couple minutes left. Just make sure you tune in next week as well. My special guest is going to be singer-actress Melba Moore.
Melba, I love her.
Oh, you know Melba.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I saw her years ago. One of the first plays, musicals that I ever saw was Pearly.
Yeah,
on Broadway. And she just every night brought the house down. I mean, she just stooped down in her gut, squatted down, and just came up with a note. Oh, she
good.
And Cleavon Little, they were just fabulous.
So I want everybody to make sure that you keep tuning in. Brother Lou Gossett, spoke to him recently. He's up in Canada now, but he says that he'll be more than happy to get back on the air with us, and that's going to be around October, did he say? Was that
yes.
October? He'll
mm-hmm.
be back. And so there are other people that we've got lined up just to bring before you. So, again, I mean, the caliber is not going to drop off after this interview. It's going to stay the same because these people, they're real. You see them on the
okay.
big screen. You buy their CDs, but you have no idea that, for example, Shug Avery or Miss Avery or Miss Margaret was a freedom rider at 12 years old.
I didn't know it either until now. So just thank you for that new category. And thank
okay.
you so much for the opportunity to express my thoughts, and I hope that it's been encouraging for people to get out and vote and to realize how important it is.
Well, do you have any closing words? We've got about a minute or two left. Any last words you'd like to leave with your fans and the people who are just out there listening and undecided about whether or not to vote, who to vote for? Any final words?
Well, like I said, I don't like to discuss sex, religion, and politics because it's embedded in your belief system, and it's hard to argue. But all I'm saying is please, please get out and vote. It's important. Vote. And hopefully it's for President Obama, but if not, at least know that you are part of this political system and the constitutional right that many people have died for you to have that right.
Well said.
I guess that's about
well
it.
Said. It has been a pleasure, sister. I am bowing to you as I speak. I have to have you back on again as soon as possible. And to all the listeners who did not call but were listening, you know, this is talk radio, okay? This is talk radio. I bring the guests, and they come, and, you know, they take time out of their busy schedule. These are people, when you're talking about the Margaret Avery's, the Melba Moore's, the Lou Gossett Jr.'s, the Clifton Davis's, the Dick Gregory's, these are busy people. So when I take an opportunity to bring them before you, they're taking time out of their day because they want to interact with the people who they, you know, have listened to them and have grown up on them and, you know, bought their CDs. And it's your opportunity to say whatever it is that you'd like to say to the guests. So when I bring them to you, you know, if you're sitting there listening, you know, this conversation doesn't just have to be between me and the guest. You know, we'd love your input, you know, and I encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a call and join in and be a part of it. And so, Miss Avery, again, I want to thank you again.
Thank you so much. And
oh,
I wish
thank
all
you.
The
it was a fast hour.
Huh?
I said the hour went by fast.
Well,
yes,
did.
It did. Yes, it did.
It really did.
And I wish you much success in your upcoming movie or series that you're about to be
yeah.
a part of.
Would you like to talk about that?
Being Mary Jane's BET project starring Gabriel Union and a slew of other young people. And I get to work opposite the original Shaft, Richard Roundtree.
Oh, Richard Roundtree.
He plays my husband, and boy, he's still good looking, y'all out there. The older women will love that.
He's still a bad. Shut your mouth. Right?
Yeah, and it should be a nice series. So look for me there, and hopefully I'll be blessed to do a lot of episodes.
Okay.
We hope so.
And you have our prayers, sister. And again, it's truly been an honor. I've loved this, and I'm sure that the listeners have too. And until the next time, you be safe. You continue with those positive affirmations. And Carson, again, thank you. I know he's going to listen to this. Thank you, sir, for your work with that, because they bless me. And judging from the responses, I see a lot of people are blessed just by your life.
So. Oh, thank you so much, Juwanza, and thank you to fans. And God bless you all.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
This was a great show, and it's, you know, it's this type of information, again, that we bring to allow our listeners to understand the importance of voting, understand the importance of the things that people are out there doing, working on our behalf, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to continue to bring people like that.
Being involved in the whole process, the whole political process. And, again, for those who are listening, you know, I know sometimes you just want to sit back and enjoy a good show or whatever. But, you know, these people, they're busy. I mean, you're busy, they're busy. So if I bring them to you, you know, then, you know, you can pick up the phone and give us a call and join in on the conversation. And for those who do on a regular basis, you know I ain't talking to you, okay? But for those who are, you know, regular listeners, you know, these people, if you think listening to them is good, talk to them, okay? Get involved in this process, again, because I'm not taking them away from what they're doing just to sit and talk to me. I can talk to them anytime, and I do. I can talk to them from home, and I do. So I bring them to you as guests of mine. So please, when I bring them to you, engage them, if you would, if you don't mind.
Very nice people, very personable, and that's what we like, to be able to open it up, just like a discussion for everyone to just call in, just like if we're sitting at home in our living room.
Absolutely.
And you know, we want you to be able to engage in the conversation, and if you have questions and things like that. Also, again, we just want to announce again that Melba Moore will be our special guest.
Yes.
This upcoming Sunday from 6 to 7,
mm-hmm.
and she's very fascinating as well. We've interviewed her
mm-hmm.
A number of occasions before.
Don't forget, Rocka Rosa Rundu is going to be on that same show from 7 to 8.
Okay, yes.
That's right. So we've got a two-hour show next week, so it's going to be Melba Moore from 6 to 7, and we've got Rocka Rosa Rundu from 7 to 8. If you don't know who she is, make sure you tune in, because she is she's
also
the bomb.
Powerful.
So, until...
And remember to join Juwanza for Life.
Thank you. That's right. I have a Facebook, everybody. Juwanza, that's J, you know? J-A-W-A-N, like Nigeria, Z, like Zimbabwe, A, the number 4, Life, L-I-F-E, Facebook. Join it.
And share your thoughts and comments. So until we talk to you again, have a wonderful, blessed Labor Day.
Yep. Enjoy it. Be safe. Be prayerful. And just remember, information is power as well, but it's not power if you don't use it. I enjoyed this. This was a wonderful show.
It was wonderful.
We love you too.
Peace.